Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Gateway City Church. I'm Pastor Matt. If you've never joined us before, and I pray that that the music, the reading of Scripture has ministered to you this morning. We're in a series that we started last week. I think it's an interesting series. It's a different series than I've done before. We're calling it Confronting Christianity. Basically what it is, it's tackling questions, even feelings that people have oftentimes that they would have towards Christianity. Maybe it's a question. Maybe it's even an accusation that is legitimate that the average person on the street is asking. Last week, we hit the topic of, aren't we better off without religion? And I think that's a really, really good question. A lot of people are wondering that today, thinking, man, doesn't religion just get in the way? Doesn't it make things more complicated? Doesn't it make the problems that we have in the world today even worse? If that interests you, check out last week. This week, we're going to be tackling the topic of, can science and Christianity coexist? Can science and Christianity coexist? And I would encourage you, you know, if you want to engage me on this, you know, throw out questions, email me. Even if you have some ideas of other topics that pop up along the way that you see yourself having or even friends' questions that they have, I'd appreciate to hear those as well. I have to be honest, I'm coming at this from a Christian perspective. I'm coming at it from as humble of a perspective as I can, but I hope that this series will help you, maybe even help some of your friends with the questions that they have. I'm going to start off with a scripture. It's from Hebrews. It's in the New Testament, chapter 11. It says this: faith shows the reality of what we hope for, is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. 2,000 years ago, the writer of Hebrews is speaking into this subject of faith. He's speaking into the subject of creation. In fact, this writer uses some interesting words. He uses the words reality and evidence. These are typical words that we would use within a scientific discussion. But he also uses the word faith in God. And it's interesting how he mixes those two together. He mixes evidence and reality with faith in God. And I think that oftentimes in our modern day perspective, we just don't mix those two together. We don't believe that evidence and reality can come together with faith in God. But from an ancient perspective, they didn't see those two things clashing at all. So the question is can Christianity and science coexist? I guess it depends on who you are asking. If we go right off the bat with Richard Dawkins, he's a famous atheist, has written several books. He sees the universe that has precisely the properties we should expect if there is at bottom no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. This would be his viewpoint. When he sees creation through his lens, he doesn't see any evil. He doesn't see any good. He doesn't see anything at the heart of why the world exists. In fact, he just sees a black hole, pitiless indifference. And for many people in the world today, when they think about science, if they're going to be scientific, they believe that they really need to see things through the lens of this atheistic bent. But there are other people out there. I want to quote someone from Cambridge University. This guy is a professor in experimental physics, and his name is Russell Coburn. He says, understanding more of science doesn't make God smaller. It allows us to see his creative activity in more detail. So here is a scientist, someone really well educated. When he looks at science, he doesn't see pitiless indifference. What he sees is a creative God in the middle of it all. So you see these two extremes, even when it comes to philosophy and science. This idea that science and Christianity cannot coexist is somewhat of a modern dilemma. It's somewhat of a modern idea, more so now than ever. Most of it comes about by the origins debate. When we talk about how did the world come into existence, how did the universe come into existence, this has been at the heart of this debate in regards to whether Christianity and science can coexist. When we open up the Bible to the very first few chapters of Genesis, the writer of Genesis gives us an explanation of the creation of the world. And that has been up for debate for a really, really long time in regards to what exactly was this writer, what exactly was God trying to communicate through the first couple chapters of Genesis? What did he mean and what was the purpose of that? And that's been the heart of the debate. I will tackle this a little bit later, but when we ask this question about whether science and Christianity can coexist, I think that we need to take a step back into history and look at how this has progressed, especially over the last 400 years. What is the history behind this? Well, modern science, as we know it, especially here in the Western world, was really first developed by Christian people. Oftentimes we don't realize that. There's two Franciscan monks that lived in the 13th century. One was the name of Roger Bacon. The other guy was William Ockham. And they laid the empirical and methodological foundations for the scientific method. So everything is based on science, on the scientific method. And these were two Catholic monks who first laid the foundations for that. And then after the many others came along, we have guys like Francis Bacon, Roger Boyle, Isaac Newton, Johannes Kepler. All of these guys laid incredibly important foundations for modern science, and every single one of them were followers of Jesus. They consider themselves Christians. Most of us don't realize that even medieval monasteries were academic centers. That's where the study of science first originated, was within monasteries. The first universities in the Western world that we founded, ones like Oxford, Cambridge, Yale, Harvard, were actually all Christian universities that were first founded to train priests. They were Christian-based. Hans Halvorsen is a professor at Princeton University. He's a philosopher of science, and this is what he says. He says, the first scientists believed our universe was designed and created by God according to a blueprint that can be discerned by rational creatures like ourselves. What Hans is saying here is that these original scientists who were also believers, for them, science and belief went hand in hand because what they saw was a rational God, a creative God who created the universe. And as they dove into science, they believed that God had a blueprint, and they were curious. They were excited to discover the blueprint of creation, and that's what drove them. In fact, Hans argues that theism, or a belief in God, provides a better foundation for science than atheism. That if we're going to study science, it makes a whole lot more sense through a belief in God than otherwise. When we go back in time, one of the people that's at the forefront of debate was Galileo. Galileo lived in the 15th century, 16th century, and he believed, or he discovered, that everything revolved around the sun. So most of us recognize this today, that the center is at the heart, or the sun is the center of the heart. What am I saying? The sun is the center of our solar system, and that the earth revolves around the sun. I think I got that right now. And all the planets in our solar system revolve around the sun, and that was groundbreaking belief. Galileo was a Christian, and he worked closely with the Pope and with the Catholic Church. And when he proposed this idea from his Christian perspective, he had a lot of pushback. In fact, the Catholic Church at that time was really, really threatened by what he was saying because they believed at that time that everything revolved around the earth. And so the earth was the center and that the sun revolves around the earth. And when we look at the world that we live in, I guess it would make sense from a pre-scientific standpoint. When you get up in the morning, you see the sun rising. And when you go to bed, you see the sun setting. And so there was a debate. There was a controversy that happened. And Galileo was considered a heretic because of what he believed. Now people look at that and say, see, look, this is why Christianity and science do not coexist well together. But it's interesting because the very first person who said that everything revolved around the earth, when we look back in history, was a philosopher named Aristotle. So this belief that everything revolved around the earth actually wasn't a Christian or a Jewish belief, a religious belief, but it was proposed by a Greek philosopher several hundred years prior. Galileo, as a Christian, was pushing the boundaries and was producing something and saying something that at that time the early church didn't want to believe, but now we believe it today. And there's been many debates like that over the years. We have the age of the earth debate today. How old is the world that we live in? How old is the universe? And I remember when I was a kid growing up in school, in high school, in the public system that I went to, you know, I grew up with a young earth perspective. And so whenever I'd listen to scientific videos on TV or go to school and they talked about the earth being millions of years old, I found that kind of contradictory to what I believe, but not just contradictory, but I was offended by that, and I got my defenses got up when it comes to the age of the earth. And I believe that to be a faithful Christian, I needed to believe that the earth was young. But the reality is that there's Christians on both sides of the debate. Back in the 19th century, there was a guy by the name of Lord Kelvin. And he is the first one to calculate the world in millions of years instead of thousands of years. It just so happens to be this Lord Kelvin is actually a Christian. He was a follower of Jesus. So the first person to actually say the earth is millions of years old was a believer in Jesus. So do I need to believe that it's thousands of years old or millions of years old? I think that you can be a faithful Christian and believe in either. There's another one, the Big Bang debate. The Big Bang debate, was the world created with a Big Bang? This is another debate that I felt a little bit, I pushed against when I was a young person. I felt like that idea of a Big Bang excluded God. But you know, the first person to come up with the idea that the universe and the world that we live in was created by a Big Bang was actually a Belgian Roman Catholic priest. His name was Georges Lemaître, and I probably pronounced that completely wrong. But he was the first to propose the idea that the universe was created out of nothing with a Big Bang. In fact, Stephen Hawking, famous physicist who died a couple of years ago, says this about the Big Bang. He says, many people do not like the idea that time has a beginning, probably because it smacks of divine intervention. What Stephen Hawking is saying is, in reality, when it comes to the idea of the Big Bang, which most scientists believe in today, for those who come at it from a bit more of an atheist perspective, they're threatened by that because they don't want to believe that there was a beginning. The Big Bang kind of speaks into that idea that everything that we know today, everything that we experience, was created by a Big Bang at one point in time in history. And for many atheists, they find this threatening. They do not want to believe it. So the question is, can a scientist be a Christian in the 21st century? The amount of things that we know today, can you be a Christian? Well, one of the people that I look to as a point of reference is a guy by the name of Francis Collins. Francis Collins is one of the most respected, well-known scientists in our world today. He was the head of the Human Genome Project back in the 90s when they mapped human DNA, and he was in charge of all that. Today, he's in charge of the National Institute of Health. And Francis grew up in a home that didn't believe in God. They were agnostic or semi-atheist family. And that's what he grew up in. He went on to study, and he became a doctor. He became a biologist and scientist. And it was during this period of time in his mid-20s that he came to faith in Jesus. Even with all of his scientific knowledge, he came to a belief that God was at the center of it all. So the question is, does science disprove Christianity? The more we know, when we dive into science, does it disprove religion? Well, the interesting thing is that science answers the how question of creation. When we look at creation, we look at science, and it kind of gives us some answers as to how things are the way they are. But science doesn't answer the why questions of creation. Why did it happen? Why are we here? God, through the Bible, I believe, answers the why questions. Science, in many ways, answers the how questions, but it doesn't answer the why questions. When we dive into the Bible and we discover the God of the Bible, it gives us a why of everything that we exist today or experience today. So when we look at Genesis, when we open up the very first few pages of the Bible, we need to understand that Genesis is not primarily concerned with science. From a modern perspective, when we dive into Genesis, we want to receive answers to our scientific questions. But Genesis isn't concerned with answering those questions. And this isn't an oversight, but it's very deliberate in the type of information that it is prioritizing, that it wants to give you. Genesis answers, who are we? What does life mean? How do we relate to God and to each other? These are very different questions from science. I kind of relate it to this. When my children were young, when they were really, really little, you know, they would ask questions about the world that they lived in. They'd ask where they came from and how is it they came to be. And when I was describing those things to my little kids, I wouldn't sit them down and start giving them a lecture on the birds and the bees. I wouldn't give them a biological answer to their questions. That wasn't important to them at that really, really young age. What my kids really, really needed to hear from me, more than a biological answer as to why they were here, they need to hear that they were here because they were loved and that God had a plan and a purpose for them. And their parents loved each other so much that those kids were there because of that. That's what they wanted to hear. When we dive into the Bible, when we dive into Genesis, and we come at it from a 21st century perspective, wanting to receive scientific answers to our questions, we're going to come out disappointed. That's not the answers that it's giving us. It wants us to know that there is a God who loves us. What Genesis wants us to know is that there is a God who created us on purpose. It wants to give us the answers to different questions. Science answers some questions, but it definitely doesn't answer all of the questions we have in the world today. Science has a place in our society, but is not a truth that rules above all truths. Sometimes we want to approach science, or people want to approach science, that it's going to give us all of our answers, and it just doesn't. There is a truth to science, but it is not the truth above all truths. We need to be asking the question, not just what does science say we are, but who does God say we are? Not what does science say we are, but who does God say we are? We can look at ourselves as just a big bag of cells from a scientific perspective that at one point in time in the future is going to expire. Doesn't sound very good, does it? Or we can look at ourselves as a masterpiece created by a God in heaven who has a plan and a purpose for our lives. These are two different angles on the same thing. I think that we could all probably agree on that there are things in this world that are right, and there's things in this world that are wrong. There are things in this world that we think that we should be doing, and there's things in this world that we believe that we should not do. This is what we call morals. It's called moral belief. And when we look at science, science doesn't answer moral dilemmas. It doesn't answer those questions of right and wrong. And so when we look at life purely from a humanistic perspective, we might say, well, what's right for you isn't right for me. That is your truth, but it is not my truth. And we look at the world where all truth is somewhat relative. You go kill someone, that's right for you, but I'm not going to do it because I believe that killing is wrong. Now, when I say that, it sounds ridiculous because we all believe that there are these common beliefs, common morals. Science just doesn't answer those things. But if there is a God who created the world, if he is the why behind the how, he's the one who gives us those morals and those beliefs that are intrinsic within every single one of us. So how do we interpret Genesis? When we look at the first chapters of the Bible, what is the faithful way of looking at it? Many Christians from all sorts of backgrounds, really for hundreds of years, have looked at this differently. And so today I'm going to outline three different ways that Christians have looked at the book of Genesis and look at creation from very different standpoints and yet are all faithful believers in Jesus. The first one I want to point out to is an organization called Answers in Genesis. If you were to type that into your Google search, it'll bring up a website that's the most prominent one today that believes in a literal 7-day, 24-hour period of creation. So when they open up Genesis, people who are part of Answers in Genesis say, it is what it says, the world was created in 6 days, God rested on the seventh, every day is 24 hours, and that is how the world was created. It believes in an ex nihilo creation. That means that everything was created instantly out of nothing. Answers in Genesis dates the age of the earth in thousands of years based on genealogical records that we find in the Bible. So when we go through the Old Testament, you might have hit this if you've read the Old Testament, where all of a sudden there are these genealogies where, like, you know, this person begat this person begat this person. When we line up those genealogies and we use that to date the earth, it comes to thousands of years instead of millions of years. And they would interpret science through the lens of the model of creation, what we see in Genesis. That's not the only viewpoint out there, though. There's another group of Christians, another Christian organization called Reasons to Believe. And Reasons to Believe, if you were to look up their website, it believes in an old earth. So they believe in millions of years rather than thousands of years. That science, when we look at it, this world hasn't been around for thousands, it's been around for millions of years. And they would say that the earth was not created in 7 24-hour periods, but it was a slow process over time. Reasons to Believe would not support or believe in the scientific theory of evolution, though. So they don't believe there is a connection between other life forms and humanity. They believe that humanity arose separately from the rest of creation. So they believe in an old earth, but they don't believe in evolution. There's a third group, though, and a third one that you could look up is called BioLogos. And BioLogos is another set of Christian scientists that believes in an old earth, similar to Reasons to Believe. It believes that the world that we live in is millions of years old, and they believe in what is called evolutionary creation. So this word evolution that for a lot of Christians has made them cringe over the years, for these Christians, it doesn't make them cringe at all. They believe that God has created the world through a slow process of evolution. Evolutionary creationists accept that evolution is the best scientific explanation for how the earth has changed over time. In biology, evolution refers to descent with modification, which includes the idea that all species are descended from a common ancestor over many generations. So these are three very different viewpoints. And you know what's interesting about it is they're all trying to tackle it from a perspective of Christianity and from science. So which one's correct? Which one should you believe? To be honest, when I look at them, there are parts of every single one that I want to believe. And they all have, to a certain degree, they have good points. But if I'm going to be 100% honest with you as a pastor, I'm not a scientist. So I'm coming to you as someone who is a pastor, someone who takes seriously the need to study the Bible, to know its history and its culture that is written within it. Augustine, I think when it comes to approaching this, I think for every single one of us, no matter how much scientific knowledge that we have, no matter how much knowledge that we have of the Bible, we really need to approach the subject with humility, being able to recognize that in reality, we none of us were there when it happened, and all of us have gaps in our knowledge. 1,500 years ago, there was a theologian, his name is Augustine, who really, he spoke into this. And he cautioned people not to make statements about science that might bring the Christian faith into disregard. Augustine is one of the most famous theologians of all time, and he wrote about Genesis 1,500 years ago, and this is what he says. He says, in matters that are so obscure and far beyond our vision, we find in Holy Scripture passages which can be interpreted in very different ways, without prejudice to the faith we have received. In such cases, we should not rush in headlong and so firmly take our stand on one side that a further progress in the search for truth just undermines this position. We too will fall with it. It's kind of wordy, 1,500 years ago, but what Augustine's basically saying is we need to be careful on taking really dogmatic stances on things that as we progress, scientific information might prove us wrong. The origins debate is not at the core of our belief system as Christians. The core of our belief system is Jesus, his death and his resurrection. This ends up being a side issue. So we shouldn't get too dogmatic in it. John Walton is the Old Testament scholar, professor out of Wheaton College, and he says this, the Bible wasn't written to us, but it was written for us. And I've said this several times here at Gateway, when we approach ancient scriptures, to recognize the Bible wasn't written to us, but was written for us. What he means by this is that when we read scripture, we have a tendency to project our modern day assumptions and understandings on the text. We come at it with a 21st century perspective. But scripture wasn't written within our context. It wasn't written in the 21st century. It was written to people thousands of years ago with a very different worldview than ours. It's not written to us. So for us to get the full meaning of the text, we need to inject ourselves into their time period. When we can understand how they viewed it and what the scriptures were saying to them, then we can understand what God, the unending principles, the principles that span all generations, what God is trying to speak to us today in the 21st centuries. In the 21st century, I should say. Biblical authors had a pre-scientific view of natural phenomenon. So often they're communicating in a way that makes sense to the people of that time. What Scripture affirms in the creation accounts is not a scientific explanation of how God created, but that the one true God did create, and he considered his creation good. The discoveries of modern science in many ways should neither be seen as the instigator of some abandonment or trust in Scripture, so it doesn't cause us to mistrust Scripture, nor is it really contradictory to the Bible at all, but it gives us a different viewpoint on the same thing from a different angle. So when we look at creation, science gives us one viewpoint. When we look at the Bible, when we look at Genesis, when we look at Scripture, it gives us another viewpoint of the same thing. And just like the early scientists, the early Christian scientists who came up with the scientific method, they saw how science and Christianity didn't, they could coexist together. They didn't contradict one another. They gave different views of the same thing. Us in the 21st century need to be able to tackle this in the same way. J.I. Packer, he's one of the most well-known theologians of our day in the 21st century, says this: I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, and I maintain it in print. But exegetically, I cannot see that anything Scripture says in the first chapters of Genesis or elsewhere bears on the biological theory of evolution one way or the other. J.I. Packer is tackling this very divisive topic of evolution. And he says kind of what I've been saying all along, that when he looks at Scripture and he looks at Genesis, that subject of evolution, that subject of origins and how everything came to be, that Scripture doesn't bear on that, doesn't speak into it one way or another. Many people have walked away from the faith as they study science because they feel that for them to believe in the Bible, they have to have a very specific worldview when it comes to science. What I'm saying to you today, no matter where you stand on the subject, it's a bit of a side subject. It's not the most important subject, and you can be anywhere along the spectrum and still believe in Jesus, still follow Jesus with all of your heart. Believe in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and no matter how the world came to be, that God was at the center of it. As we close today, I want to adjust our view to a slightly different angle, to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8 gives us a beautiful description of the world that we live in through the eyes of faith, through the eyes of God. It says this: Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray, O Lord, that you would adjust our view. As I read what the psalmist wrote thousands of years ago, he looked at all of creation, and he had a pre-scientific viewpoint, but he looked at all of creation, and he wondered in awe how you did all of it. He was amazed by it. And thousands of years later, we sit in the 21st century and we have all sorts of scientific viewpoints. And yet, I still stand in awe. We stand in awe on how you did all of it. It is absolutely and utterly miraculous. God, we are humbled that you would love us, that you would create us. And Lord, I pray, oh Lord, that we would tackle this subject with humility. Lord, you revealing scientific knowledge to us as years go by, but no matter how much we learn, it is always the tip of the iceberg of how much more there is to learn. And so, Lord, I pray, oh God, that we would come to you in humility and curiosity and desiring to learn. And may that encapsulate your people, people that follow you, who are called by your name. In Jesus' name, amen.